Wired Jesus Podcast, January 4th, 2010, Creative Commons licensed.
Initiating startup sequence.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast. Wired Wanderings of Postmodern Culture.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Well, yeah, but just because God doesn't answer your prayers doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Well, then why didn't he give me what I wanted?
Well, God can't just answer every prayer and suddenly give you everything you want. That takes all the living out of life.
What do you mean?
Where have you been?
It was horrible. A giant leech got me.
I've been looking for you. Where have you been?
I've been here. I've been sleeping.
In a frilly shirt and slacks?
They are my peaches.
Where have you been? I've been waiting and waiting and standing here for 17 seconds!
Mayday, where have you been? I've been waiting for you. To take care of me personally.
Yes, that is the question. Where have I been? Honestly, there's no good answer. Life simply got the best of me and podcasting got put off. If you follow the denominational tribal news, my group, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, voted in its National Assembly back in August to explore ordaining gay and lesbian pastors who are in committed relationships. And let's just say all kinds of things hit the fan after that, both nationally and my own congregation. Add to that a stinky economy and the typical surprises that come with daily life, and the last 6 months at times has had me looking more like a fireman than a podcaster. Yet with the urgings of many of you and my own coaches and pastors and my wife, they all notice that I need the creative edge that Wired Jesus brings to my life and ministry.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell. I gotta have more cowbell, baby.
So when WordPress and iTunes crapped out on me back in November, Wired Jesus just sat there on the net while I took it on the road and began doing some consultations around Ohio. And while that was good, it's not quite the same as doing the podcast. So after taking some time this week to figure out what had gone wrong, I believe I have everything up and running again the way it should, and I'm ready to fight the fight against PodFade. So after much work, here is a new Wired Jesus podcast. Just what you needed. Wired Jesus Podcast is back.
Am I original? Yeah. Am I the only one?
Yeah. Theological?
Wired Jesus. Okay, a little tacky, but I couldn't resist. You know, I've been thinking about this podcast for a long time. It all began with a trip to New Orleans back in July. Every 3 years, our denomination holds a national youth gathering in a major city, somewhere in the U.S., and this year it was the Big Easy. 35,000 teens went to New Orleans, and every student was expected to participate in at least one service project. In our case, we did a door-to-door survey in a parish that had been devastated by Katrina flooding. In the center of this neighborhood was a closed school that was the focus of our visits. 50% of youth never returned to New Orleans. And 50% of those who did no longer live with their parents. So no one knows where kids are living, still what schools should be reopened, and what neighborhoods are even viable. So we went in to find out. That was our service project. We also held worship services every evening in the Superdome, led by bands and music that our kids are hungry to bring home, but still not entirely welcomed by older adults. And that's a different podcast, or you can listen to a couple of the earlier ones on the Bored Again Christian. But that being said, each evening was a fantastic experience. Great music, the kids were really into it, great speakers. But really what stood out for me throughout this whole experience in both those venues of the survey and in the Superdome was a whole new dimension that was brought about by social networking. Now, cell phones have been part of gatherings in past years, but this event was different. It was completely changed by Twitter and Facebook. For many of us, myself included, we kept running photo logs and commentary on our Facebook page where people at home could see in real time what we were up to. Now, folks in New Orleans caught on as well and followed what those Lutheran kids were doing, not only on the news, but on Facebook. And in worship at the Dome, even in the dark, there was the light of countless LCD screens as people carried on conversations and relationships with people who were not physically there. All we really needed was a Twitter stream on one of the worship screens, and we would have entered the brave new digital world completely. Frankly, I think it'd be a good idea at the next gathering. I've heard of a couple brave churches that actually do that in worship. What happened next was that church-wide assembly that I mentioned earlier. It was up in Minneapolis. And while many good things came out of that assembly that never got talked about, the whole, as some people put it, gay thing, dominated the event in the press. And my thoughts on the decision are really for another podcast. But my short take, the whole argument that's going on is much more between baby boomers in my mind. It's the remnants of the old liberal social justice crew versus the aging moral majority fundamentalists. Really, Gen Xers and millennials just don't get what either argument is about. They don't see it as being Christ-like or even biblical. But like I said, more on that on another time. What did jump out at me, though, is how Facebook and Twitter moved to the front of the whole experience. You know, there was politics going on, and both groups were angling for their view to, you know, win the vote, and they were using social networking. At the same time, there was even an official ELCA Facebook page that folks could comment on. And minute by minute, you could watch the Facebook page as people vented rage and frustration, joy, and confusion. As one person later said after the assembly, they said that Facebook page has become our denomination's book of psalms, with hymns, laments, praise, and anger. The entire struggle and its consequences still continue to be lived out on Facebook, part of the mutual conversation that many of us still hold to, and part of the parting shots for those who are walking away in the name of personal decisions of faith that they can't reconcile with the denomination's actions. I think there is something unique that emerged out of both these events that has impacted even a stodgy, hard-to-change denomination like mine. You get down to the nitty-gritty. People don't like change, particularly when it involves personal sacrifice or personal reflection. That's particularly true of congregations. We want to believe that when all else changes, an unchanging God is somehow honored or reflected in unchanging congregations and traditions. It doesn't really work in real life, but that is what we hope for in uncertain times. Facebook has done something new in that the conversation doesn't end. It continues personally. And connections have emerged that have, on one hand, reinforced dividing lines, but on the other hand, blurred them. And I don't believe that's a contradiction. The old school perspective of communication as information and organization is using Facebook to create affinity groups and Twitter for sloganeering. I see this on both sides, and again, my take is it's mostly boomer and organization driven. On the other side, the emerging perspective that Facebook and Twitter are actually relational venues. Call it blogging light or a digital coffee house. I think any future that a Christian spiritual journey has in this country is going to have to embrace this mindset. Web pages, blogs, Facebook, and Twitter are here to stay as long as there is an internet. And that's a place where local congregations can adapt to and live. Denominations aren't flexible enough to do this well. And partisans, well, they aren't open enough to embrace a paradigm of relationship over doctrine. In a certain sense, I really think it's going back to the first century in the early church. You had a church in Jerusalem, and its fixation on maintaining purity of the Old Testament law while still following Jesus. And if you read the story, if you got a Bible, it's Acts, I just go ahead and start chapter 1, but it really goes all the way through chapter 15. Chapters 10 through 15 are the key of the story. But you have Peter and Paul going into the homes of Gentiles, the word for non-Jews, and breaking all those laws because of the conversations and relationships that the Holy Spirit was opening, all outside the box of tradition. The church in Jerusalem couldn't control the Roman road system. They couldn't control where Paul went, and they couldn't control who God chose to be in relationship with. In the end, a legalistic Jewish Christianity died out in favor of a relationally based Christianity focused on a larger world. Facebooking faith, for me, is a sign that we're going down the same road. The digital road system is bringing together disparate Christians and seekers who really aren't interested in purity, in whatever form you want to call it, in doctrine or Bible or whatever. They're interested in a relationship with Jesus and other Jesus followers. I think added to that, the failing economy has fundamentally changed denominational and congregational budgets for the foreseeable future. You know, when Rick Warren and Saddleback Church end the year $900,000 in the hole, that becomes pretty clear that big parachurch and megachurch operations are going to have to radically downsize and reform or die because they aren't built on relationships. I think the same is true locally. Local congregations are always more adaptable financially, but the gravy days, I think, are over for now. Association and programming has to give way to relational faith that takes us out of our buildings and concern for them, and out into our neighborhoods and into our neighbors' homes. And that means the digital neighborhood that includes Facebook. Facebooking faith is a new venue for telling faith stories, for encouragement, for questions, a new road to walk with Jesus. And it was clear, millennials get this. The whole national youth gathering, it was just simply part of it. Now, it doesn't replace Meet World. It doesn't replace the need for flesh-to-flesh contact. But Facebook and Twitter are just new ways to get there in place of, you know, televangelists or pamphlets that tell you how to make a decision for Jesus or a church sign declaring that the true faith can only be found here. Jesus didn't stay put 2,000 years ago. Not in a tomb, not in Jerusalem, not even in a law code. And I don't believe he's staying put now. He's alive and well in the world, in congregations with ears to hear, and in relationships, including Facebooking faith. Well, that's it for the return of Wired Jesus. Some links are included on the blog here for the churchwide assembly. Less that, but you know, certainly for the National Youth Gathering. I'll throw a couple other things up there that I mentioned. But you'll get a chance to see the impact these 35,000 kids armed with cell phones and a desire to serve were able to do. And I'll work on making sure this New Year resolution of, you know, at least monthly podcasts works as well as my commitment to take off some weight with my Wii Fit. Look for me out on Facebook and Twitter, as well as the updated webpage, wiredjesus.com. I've done a bunch of upgrading on there and may even add a new look here in the future. Also, I would really appreciate if you could go to my iTunes page and add some friendly comments with star ratings. That'd really be much appreciated. That'll help me make sure that the feed is still working, and it also gets Wired Jesus back out there to let folks know I'm alive and well. So for all of you, thanks for hanging in there. Have a happy new year, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slot like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee. Well done.
Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.